Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends through perspectives of hope in Jesus Christ. How does a boy who was born in London after his parents moved there from Nigeria for his mother to complete her PhD in child nutrition, how does he become an award-winning researcher at MIT? This is the story of Richard Ibekwe, one with a surprise twist during his senior year at MIT that led to the path he is on today. We pause to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program is to share how the love of Jesus Christ makes a difference in the lives of people. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong that he died on the cross for your sins and mine. My friend, he was buried, yes, but he rose again on the third day, offering God's hope. And this hope has touched the life of Richard Ibekwe. And it's our prayer that you would open your heart to Christ. And my friend, if you already know the Lord, well, I believe you're going to be encouraged today. Richard Ibekwe is a nuclear science and engineering PhD candidate at MIT, working at the Plasma Science and Fusion Center, dedicated to long-term fusion research, focusing on magnet technology. His research involves the development of high-temperature superconducting cables and magnets that are tolerant to dropouts, defects that cause a local drop in critical current density. His research is part of the SPARC project. He graduated from MIT with a Bachelor of Science in Nuclear Science and Engineering and in Mechanical Engineering. Richard is married to Megan. Richard, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Danny. It's great to be with you.
I mentioned London. Where in London did you grow up?
I'm from East London, specifically a part of London called Stratford. That's not the same Stratford that Shakespeare was from, but arguably the better Stratford, I would say. Our claim to fame is that the 2012 Olympics were located very close to where I grew up.
Well, you were there.
I was there, yes.
What was the experience like?
That was incredible.
The Olympics there.
Yes, it was a great time. I don't think I had ever seen as many people in one place as I saw during the games. I unfortunately didn't get to see any of the actual events in person, but I did get to go into the Olympic Park during the events, and it was just an incredible experience.
What was the feeling?
It was I guess just the energy and, you know, the part of London I'm from, I think for a long time it wasn't the part of London that people would want to visit, I'd say, like before the Olympics. But it was an incredible thing that after the government won the Games, decided to put it in that part of London. It was an incredible redevelopment, lots of investment. And they just really transformed the area. So it was, you know, there was a lot of energy, lots of excitement that East London was an up-and-coming area that people were excited to visit.
Growing up there, who would you say influenced you most, Richard, in your growing up years?
Yeah, I think I'd have to say my mother, I think. I think there were lots of ways, both from a but from an academic point of view, as you said, she pursued a PhD at the University of Aberdeen, actually, so up in Scotland. So we were living in London. She was doing her PhD in Aberdeen. She was doing a lot of her field work in nutrition in Nigeria. So we were between London, Aberdeen, and various parts of Nigeria. And I was born right in the middle of her PhD. So I think from there was definitely the academic influence there growing up, but I think, you know, even more deeply there was she's been a significant spiritual mentor to me right from growing up, even right up to today, just in terms of encouragement in pursuing my academic career, my spiritual life, in understanding how to really see God, to see the relevance of the gospel in all aspects of life, both from the everyday and the mundane to, you know, the most poetic and significant parts of life. So I'd say my mother was one of the most significant influences for me.
You mentioned your as you talk about your journey, you mentioned how she's the swath of influence that she's had academically and spiritually. Are there conversations that you remember as a child that were pivotal to you in opening your eyes to see things from a certain perspective that were life-changing?
That's interesting. That's a very interesting question. Maybe some more specific instances will come to mind as we talk. But I think growing up, I used to go to church, especially with my mother, and sometimes with my dad as well. And I think it was something that we did, something that I did, partly just to be there with them. But also, I think, you know, we really shouldn't despise the small things either, because I think that the little ways of participating, even before you fully understand, are very significant. And then I think it was about when I was 11 that I really started to come to a more significant understanding, elected to be baptized. I think for me, my life has been a kind of gradual. It's kind of like, you know, in the morning when as the sun rises, it rises gradually. The day emerges with increasing brightness rather than a light switch. And so I say for me, my life has been less of particular light switch moments, more of gradual dawning of the sun. So I think that's what I'd say to that. And I think perhaps it will come up in our conversation. There have been a few experiences in particular which have directed my life as I've gone along. And I think I've been learning more and more just how I really don't have control over my life, the way things occur. Someone put it well this way. They said that a ship can't turn unless it's moving. So we have to be moving. So I've kind of been moving, but God has very much been the rudder directing me.
God, the rudder directing you. Speaking of God leading you, how did God lead you to MIT?
That's a good question. I think so. MIT was not my first choice to go to college, actually. I grew up, as I said, in the UK. I had a few top British universities on my list that I wanted to go to. There was one in particular that I was very excited about. I got the interview for that university, got on the train in London, but I was late. So I got the underground. I had to, from where I am in East London, have to take the underground, the tube, as we say, to the center of London, and then take a sort of higher speed, longer distance train from there. And I just missed the train out of London to, this was Cambridge University in the UK. And that's an example of one of those times when, you know, I had planned a lot for it. I had set everything out in terms of, I'll leave the house at this time, I'll get the tube at this time, and I'll get the next train at that time. But, you know, it just didn't work out. So I missed the train, I was late, and you can imagine everything just didn't go well from there. I think they did their best. It was an admirable effort, did their best to move the schedule around so that I could still meet up with as many professors as possible and do all the other components. But in the end, unsurprisingly, I didn't get in. So then that was an example of I had this excellent plan of going to this particular university and then, you know, life continuing from there. And for reasons out of my control, it didn't happen.
Richard, what did your mom say?
What did she say? I think she just took it as, well, it wasn't meant to be. It was not actually the first time, interestingly, that I had missed a train that had prevented me from getting into a school. This is a very similar story, maybe, what would have been 5 or so years before then. We took the wrong train, I think it was. So we went a little too far and then we were late for the interview. So I couldn't interview for that high school and I didn't get in. So I think she reminded me of that instance. And at that time, it worked out well. It was clearly God's hand directing me. And so I think she reminded me of that. This has happened before. God is in control. Trust in him and keep moving.
Trust in him and keep moving. Well, that's one of the experiences that you were trying to draw back from. And here we are. Here we have it. Richard Ibekwe. This is a word of encouragement to someone today who may have missed their own quote-unquote train in life. They were set on doing something that they were convinced, this is what I'm going to do, this is where I'm going to be, and it has not turned out. When we come back from our break, you're going to listen to more from Richard. Hey, we're talking about moments. They're moments of unexpected change. They change your life. Where you are today is not where you thought you would be, but God has a purpose in it. Richard's mother encouraged him. He's here today, and just wait to hear what the Lord has and continues to do. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Richard Ibekwe says, three things that have always fascinated me have been learning how things work, finding how to fix them, and using that knowledge to serve and care for those around me. Well, he is here today. Today, he works at MIT's Plasma Science and Fusion Center. He's a doctoral candidate there at MIT. He also served as editor of Espiritus Journal. It's a Christian journal at MIT. Richard, before our break, you were talking about how God led you to MIT. There was a missed train to Cambridge University, but here you are at MIT. What was your experience like when you got here?
Yeah, so I'd say I think a lot of people look at MIT and they think, well, this is a scientific place, a technical institution, and they think, well, that it must be probably a pretty godless place. I think going in, I didn't quite know what to expect, really. I had had some contact. I had gone to the campus preview weekend for prospective students, so I'd had a chance to visit the campus and see a bit of student life. But even then, I wasn't quite sure exactly what to expect. I was pleasantly surprised to find quite a vibrant, you know, not enormous, but not tiny either, Christian community at MIT. Lots of different groups from different denominations, as well as non-denominational groups. And I think just a general openness to faith that I perhaps had not expected. I think my experience is most students, if they're approached, whether or not they're religious, whether or not they would acknowledge having a faith, I think they are generally open to the idea of something beyond the material world that we're in. And I think there's a general, for the most part, not everyone, but a general respect, or at least interest, or at least allowing you to have your beliefs, not trying to push them down. So I've been really encouraged by that. And I've also been encouraged by the Christians that I've encountered in various aspects of my work in the classroom, Christian professors, other Christian students through the student groups, as well as even in the research center. At the Plasma Science and Fusion Center, with some other research scientists and other staff, maybe five of us or so had a Bible study where we would meet once a week, just for half an hour at lunchtime, and just study a small passage and reflect on what God's trying to tell us. So I've just been encouraged by the Christian community and the openness to faith that I found at MIT.
Let's take a few steps back on your journey to your graduate work. How did Professor Zachary Hartwig influence you during your senior year at MIT?
Yeah, so I first really encountered Professor Hartwig in a senior design class that I took. At MIT, we like numbers, so all the classes are numbered. So this particular one was 22.033, or 22033, as we would say. This was a nuclear science design class. So the idea was there were maybe about eight or so people in the class. We were divided into three teams, and the challenge was to we were given some particular problem in nuclear engineering. In this case, it was when you're dealing with radioactive sources, you want to calibrate your machines for detecting how much radiation is being emitted. They make them in these little plastic discs, and the design's not particularly good. It's one of those things where someone did it many years ago and it's never been changed. So the idea was, part of the class was, come up with a better design for that. And then there was another component to the class that was now thinking a little bigger picture and coming up with a design for some nuclear-powered thing. So we came up with this design for a nuclear-powered CubeSats, which are these small, like less than a foot on each side cube satellites that are becoming much more common as a cheap way of getting internet connection from space and things like this. Anyway, so that was the class. Professor Hartwig, for me, he combined a lot of the things that I like academically and kind of intellectually. He had a nice combination of both interest in the science of things, so studying at a fundamental level, how do things work? In nuclear science, we study zooming right into the atoms that make up matter. You find that there's a nucleus at the middle, which is where most of the weight of the atom is located, and then there are electrons orbiting around it. And as nuclear scientists, we're interested in exploring how those subatomic particles inside the nucleus behave. So there's that science aspect, which he is interested in and studies, but there's also, he had a very strong interest in applications in engineering and technology. So how do we take our fundamental understanding of the nature of the universe and how things work, and how do we use that in some really practical ways? I think there's generally a spirit of this at MIT. The motto is mens et manus, which is Latin for mind and hand. So studying things, but then also thinking about how can we use our hands metaphorically to use them in the world. But I really appreciated seeing that in him in particular. And then also just his personal qualities and his personality, just a very good mentor, very approachable. And he's also been very significant to me in my academic and professional development.
Yeah, so would you say that was a key, one of the key points in a kind of redirection for you going forward at that time in your life?
Yeah, I think it was definitely, I think as I came to my senior year, I was thinking about what to do next. Should I graduate? Should I go back to the UK? Should I stay in the US? I think for a while I had thought about that I would want to continue with my education, so pursue a doctoral degree. But at that point, I hadn't decided what that should be in. Should I stay in the nuclear department? Should I was also studying mechanical engineering. Should I go into mechanical engineering? So that class was really, it was kind of that, it was a rudder moment, I guess. Again, not a light switch moment, but a moment of direction where I knew I wanted to move in some approximate direction. But that really helped me to decide that actually nuclear science was what I wanted to do, and specifically Professor Hartwig does research in fusion engineering. Mm-hmm. And so as you mentioned that at the beginning, in very briefly, fusion energy is what powers the sun and the stars. So at very high temperatures, gases like hydrogen can fuse together to form helium and other heavier elements, releasing a lot of energy. And if we could do that process on the Earth, then that would be the ideal form of power. It would be clean, it would be sustainable, and it would produce almost unlimited energy. So his work in fusion energy and the prospects for that, and as we consider the challenges that we face in terms of the climate and other things, that really excited me. So that certainly was a really important moment or semester, I suppose, for me in deciding what to do next.
What is a tokamak?
Yeah, so tokamak is a kind of fusion power plant. And so the word tokamak, it's an acronym that comes from some Russian words that I can't remember myself, but it basically means if you imagine a tube, an empty cylinder, take that tube and bend it around on itself so that it looks like a ring donut. We put the gases that we want to fuse into the hollow part of that ring donut, in that bent cylinder. We heat them up to really high temperatures. We're talking millions of degrees, so trying to replicate what it's like in the center of the sun. And at those temperatures, there's no material on Earth that could withstand touching that gas without melting. So we have to come up with a way of containing those gases so they don't touch the walls of the reactor. And the way we do that is with very powerful magnets. And so people are probably fairly familiar with permanent magnets, like the ones you stick on your fridge. But you can also make electromagnets, which use electricity to produce the magnetic field. And you find them in all sorts of places, like electric car motors, even electric doorbells, the old-fashioned kind where you press it in and it physically rings a bell. Those use electromagnets to convert electricity into a magnetic field, which you can then use for other useful things. So we use that magnetic field to create a force that holds and squeezes the gas so that it's suspended in the middle of that tube. So that's basically what a tokamak is.
You're listening to Richard Ibekwe. When you think about what God is allowing you to be a part of, a moment of reflection, what stirs in your heart?
That's a great question, Danny. I'd say, for one thing, as I said, at a personal level, I think my life has been teaching me that God's in control. I can do what I do, but it's ultimately, I think, as the Bible says, we plant the seed, and we can water that seed, but it's God who causes it to grow. And I think there have been lots of cases in my life where various people, like my mother, for instance, or my academic advisor, Professor Hartwig, and others have planted seeds in my life. Perhaps you could say that through studying and working hard, etc., I've watered those seeds. But ultimately, as anyone who's done gardening knows, after you do those things, you have to leave the seed alone. And the sun shines down on it, the rain may fall later on, and sometimes the seed grows and sometimes it doesn't. It's out of our control to a large extent. And I think that's been one thing I've been seeing in my own personal life. And that's both, somewhat scary in realizing we don't have as much control as we thought we did. But it's also really exciting because now I feel like I'm seeing in various ways as I start to hopefully grow in humility and letting go of my ego and my own belief in my strength, I can allow God, who's much stronger than I am, to do hopefully something even better than I could do myself through me. So that's sort of at a personal level. And then in the lab work and the academic work that I do, it's just been exciting to be involved in a project which really has the potential to do a lot of good and to have a really positive impact in the world in terms of helping us to address our energy needs, and in helping to helping to address some of the challenges that we have as a planet. So that's been exciting. And then finally, I think I'd say also related to that academic work, but being at MIT and being connected with the other scientists who are involved with this project. As I said, I think MIT in general is a place that, to a large extent and a somewhat surprising extent, I found people to be fairly receptive to hearing about my faith and in seeing the ways that I at least try to live it out. But they won't hear. People won't hear that unless there's someone to say it, someone to be there. So I think also from a kind of a mundane point of view, because I just happen to be a student there, and the other scientists just happen to be there. But hopefully by being in that space, by interacting with my colleagues on a day-to-day basis, I can also bring God, bring the hope that I have into their life.
I can see, Richard, as you talk about the sun rising, the gradual process of the golden glow of the rising sun is being brought forth in your life. My friend, you're listening to Richard Ibekwe, Dr. Ibekwe on the way.
On the way.
And and as we speak about these things, it's a reminder to you that in the so-called moments of life that seem like mishaps to you, that might even stir you up to a point of grave discouragement, that in times like that, God is still moving in a way that is purposeful, meaningful. When we come back from our break, you'll hear more from Richard. We'll talk a little bit about the lab that he works in. In fact, how does he see the glory of God in the lab? Richard Ebekwe, he's been awarded the Commonwealth Fusion Systems and MIT Energy Initiative Fellowship. He's also the MIT Presidential Fellowship. He won that in 2018. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life
in
today.
In addition to the MIT Presidential Fellowship, which he was awarded, Richard Ebekwe was awarded the MIT Roy Axford Award for Academic Achievement by an undergraduate senior in 2018. His memberships and honor societies involve Tau Beta Pi in engineering, Alpha Nu Sigma nuclear engineering, and Pi Tau Sigma mechanical engineering. You can find out more about Richard at psfc.mit.edu. Richard, how do you see the glory of God in the lab?
That's a great question, Danny. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth proclaims the works of his hands. And I think that's, you know, I think I've really seen that just in standing back and looking at, all of us can, well, if you don't live in a city, I guess, you can look up at the night sky and you can see all the stars, the intricacy of the and the vastness of the universe that God has made. And in the lab, it's kind of like that, but it's now, instead of zooming out, it's kind of zooming in. So my lab work, very briefly, involves, as I said, we in order to make the fusion reaction work and to hold onto the gases so that they don't touch the walls of the reactor and melt them.
The tokamak.
The tokamak, exactly. We use these high magnetic field magnets, electromagnets, where you pass electricity through them and that generates a magnetic field. So my research is to do with the research and development of those magnets and specifically looking at what happens when you have a defect in the magnet, which can reduce its performance. Understanding the effects of those imperfections on the behavior of the magnet and the materials that it's made from, and how can we mitigate that and overcome some of the issues that might bring about. I think maybe the way I see God in that is kind of twofold. I think one is just, as I said, there's something awesome, and awesome in the old sense of the word, inspiring awe, about seeing the elegance and the order of the way in which just all aspects of nature work. So for me, it's looking at how electrons, these invisible electrons, which are bouncing around inside the metals in this magnet, in understanding, well, why do they move in the way that they do? And they move in very predictable, very elegant ways, which can be described by just a few fairly simple equations. Well, I say simple. Simple, I guess, for a physicist in terms of just the elegance of it. That in just a few lines of equations, you can describe entirely how these subatomic particles that are not thinking, they're just moving, how they behave, how much heat is generated, what's the electric current that they're generating, what's the magnetic field. It's really incredible. And I think every day I'm just inspired as I see that, as I solve these equations, as I run the simulations, as I run the experiments and see these things play out. I think on another hand, I really see how science can only take us so far. So it can describe how things work, but it can't really tell us why things work. So, you know, the equations are not, they're not laws. You know, we talk about the laws of physics in a way. They're not laws in the sense that the electrons and the protons must obey this because that is the law. We call them laws simply because, well, that's just what they do. They are, every time we've observed an electron moving in this, say, this magnetic field, this is how it's behaved. We write that equation down and we can be quite confident that every time we run that experiment, it will run according to that equation. But as I said, the equation is not telling the electron what to do. The equation is describing what it does. It doesn't tell us why it does that. Similarly, you know, science is a really powerful thing, but it can't tell us. I can't in the lab somehow calculate the date that the Second World War began on. I can't tell you why, you know, gravity pulls us down towards the Earth. It never pushes us away from the Earth. Science doesn't really tell us why it does. It works in one way and not another way. It simply tells us, well, it works in that way. And science can't tell us what's good and what's bad. So in the lab, especially in a nuclear science lab, I think I don't need to tell you or the listeners that nuclear science can be used for some terrible purposes, but it can also be used for a lot of good. We can produce clean electricity and clean energy. We can do this in a way which there's a lot more energy for every ounce of material than there is for oil or gas. There's a lot of good that we can do with nuclear science. But science doesn't tell us what purposes are good and what purposes are bad. We need something beyond that. And that's, I think, really where God comes in. And I see his glory in realizing, well, he's entrusted me with this knowledge and these skills to understand how these things work and to use them in the world, for good or bad. To some extent, without him, I could use it for good or I could use it for bad. And certainly without him, I'd be more inclined to use it for bad. With God, he through his word, through the experience of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me and directing me, I, over time, learn more and more what it looks like to use it for good, to use my knowledge and my skills for his purposes. And so, and I see the glory of God in that.
Let's go a little bit further. Richard, in addition to engineering and scientific questions, as you reflect on seeing the glory of God, and the marvel and the elegance. What other questions are you asking?
Yeah, I think one question I ask myself, just from a personal level, is what difference does Christ make to what I do? Am I going about my work and doing the experiments and having the conversations with people and going about my life in the same way as everyone else? Or is there something different? And I think that's a question we all have to ask, especially if we do believe in Christ and that He is the Lord.
What are the implications to that? As you answer that question, what next?
Yes, yeah. It's I think one thing is, well, if Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth, then for one thing I just can't just do what I want or what I think is right, just of myself. Realizing that there's a great deal that nature can unfold to us about itself through experiments and God working through that, but there's also a lot that we can't know through what we see in the lab. There's a lot that God reveals to us through other means. And so I think there are lots of ethical questions that as we go through this work, things both directly related to what I'm doing, but also lots of technologies. So for example, self-driving cars, as we come to those and see them more in society, there are questions that the people who code those cars must ask about in a particular situation, what does this car do? And as we think about justice with regard to these machines, which to an increasing extent day to day run themselves, asking, well, who's responsible? What really is right? And it would be far too much for me to say in every situation, both in my work and in technology in general, to every question what is right or wrong. But I will say that without some external guidance, we just can't. Without God, there really is no concept of good and evil. These things are not things that we can reveal with enough experiments in the lab. These are things which we must hear from God Himself. And there's there are a number of ways that God reveals Himself to us, that He speaks to us. One of the main ways and certainly the most reliable is through His Word. And so before I go into the lab each day, I try to take time to pray and to take time to read the Bible, to read His Word, and to ask, Lord, what would You have me do today in the lab? And I think both from a moral standpoint, as I said, God gives me guidance, but honestly, also in a practical way. There are lots of problems I get to the lab and I just can't figure out how to make this particular thing work. This particular machine is broken and I just can't figure it out. And I'm reminded in those moments, just sit back for a moment and ask God for His help. If he made these things, if He made heaven and earth, then He certainly knows how to make this power supply work. Yeah. And I find that most of the time I pray and I've tried for hours and I pray and then the answer just comes to me, and that's God.
Richard, you have use the word elegant in our conversation today. And you speak, even as you just described, with a level of elegance in the way you see God. You see God's glory in the broad swath of the work that you're doing. If we go back to the rising sun and the glimmering glow around you and the hope, even for a listener who embraces, engages with your willingness to go deeper. I thank you for taking time. I think there's a level of courage, too, to engage in questions like these. And yes, we're not saying we have all the answers, but at least we're asking the questions. When we come back from our break, a little bit more on maybe a personal side. Maybe, dear friend, as you listen to Richard Igbekwe, you're going through a challenging moment in your own life. I wonder what kind of challenges the Lord has helped him to overcome. Maybe he'll share something. And we'll have a time of prayer for you as well, dear friend. You're on our hearts and you're in our prayers. PSFC.MIT.edu. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped, and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house, and at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Richard Igbekwe received multiple undergraduate awards. He earned graduate level support from the MIT Energy Initiative, which has enlisted him as an MIT Energy Fellow, sponsored by Commonwealth Fusion Systems. He was the president of the MIT student chapter of the American Nuclear Society, ANS. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. You can find out more about Richard Igbekwe at psfc.mit.edu. Richard, how has the Lord helped you in difficult times?
That's a great question. I think... One thing that comes to mind immediately, I'll talk about that, is just in this PhD. You listed a lot of awards that I've received, but I think that it doesn't show that actually especially right at the beginning of the PhD, the first year was really tough. It was who would have thought that a PhD could be so hard? I think I went into it, so I had done my undergraduate studies at MIT as well. I think I went into the PhD with quite a bit of pride, to be honest, and thinking, well, you know, I did really well. I had a top GPA. PhDs are hard, but I'll just work harder and I'll continue to do well. What I found was it was the level of work and the quality of my fellow students just increased, and I found myself really having to work hard and really struggle to keep up. And again, as I said, I think there's, you know, my life has been God showing me that, you know, I thought I was strong, but really God is much stronger. And I think it's in our weakness, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, in our weakness that we see God's strength, in that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so I think in that first year especially of the PhD, as I was really struggling in the classes to keep up, I think it was, I had to stand back and say, well, maybe I'm not as smart as I thought I was. And maybe it's not by just trying to work harder of my own strength that I'll keep going and figure this out. And just really recommitting myself. I didn't fall away from the faith, but I think it's easy to kind of compartmentalize our faith, to put it into different compartments. And so I think I found it easy to say, well, Jesus is the Lord of going to church, my worship, even the God of my friendships, and what I do on Wednesday evenings when I go to the Bible study. But I found it much harder to say, and you know, I think this is not something I realized at the time, but I think in looking back, I think it was much harder for me to say, Jesus is the Lord of nuclear science and engineering. He's the Lord of the academics of my classes. God is someone I can go to, not just to ask for encouragement when I'm feeling down, or strength when I'm feeling weak physically, but also he's a God I can go to when I'm struggling with my nuclear physics homework. He knows. That felt like a kind of a big revelation, that God knows more physics than I do. He doesn't just know more grace and forgiveness and mercy and love, because he does, of course, but it's not limited to those kind of conceptual things. He also knows more physics and engineering, knows more math than I do. That to me was, you know, something of a kind of, again, this, as I said, this gradual revelation, the sun rising. I still often I have a problem in the lab, and prayer is not the first thing I turn to. I don't always turn to God to ask for help, but more so. And I think that's, you know, we as Christians, we talk about sanctification. We're being sanctified, we're growing and getting better. So I think as I've gone along, I've more and more, when I encounter a challenge, whether it's academic, whether it's social, emotional, that my first reaction should not be to despair, or, oh, well, I just need to stay up a bit later to get this done. I just need to try harder. Maybe if I think about it just a bit more. No, my first reaction should be, Lord, help me. And that's something that I've really been learning. And, you know, it kind of feels like, to some extent, you know, struggling with nuclear physics homework, it feels like a kind of otherworldly kind of thing. That's not very practical, but that was really a profound revelation for me.
Someone today, as they're listening, may be at a place where their heart and mind is being opened because of a challenge that they're facing, that they thought in days gone by they were able to handle it, and they're underwater to the point where they don't know what to do. You've experienced those deep feelings, but you say a prayer, as the Lord has helped you, dear brother, a prayer for someone who's in this place of struggle right now, please.
Father, I thank you for this opportunity to talk with Danny about some of the experiences that I've had. Lord, I thank you for the way in which you show yourself to be the Lord, not only of heaven, but also of the earth. The Lord, not only of Sundays, but of every day of the week. The Lord, not only of emotions, not only of concepts, but the Lord of, Lord, our everyday struggles. The Lord of physics and math, the Lord of money, the Lord of everything. So Lord, we come to you, and I just lift up to you, Lord, the problems that we have. And Lord, if there's a particular person who's listening here, who has some issue that they think it's too small. It's too small for God to really care about. Or perhaps it's just too big for God, even though he's powerful, to be able to solve. Lord, I pray that you will remind them, remind all of us, that you are the Lord of everything, of the small things and the big things, of earth and of heaven. And Lord, I pray that that person, that each of us may daily and in everything come to you, Lord, because you care, because you have the power to help us. And Lord, I pray all these things in the name of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Richard, thank you. Thank you for being with us today. Mens et manus et spiritus. Mind and spirit. We feel the grace of God through you, dear brother. Thank you for your time with us.
Oh, thank you very much, Danny.
Richard Ibekwe, psfc.mit.edu. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, look, this might be that perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. Go to drdanny.live. I've got some resources for you there to join our prayer team or partner with us financially. Again, drdanny.live, and I thank you in advance. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Richard Ibekwe, psfc.mit.edu. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Sheena Kusumoto, social media director, Luke Yamashiro, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with the good life.